If you don't, you need to look around and see it. Praise Jesus. Them's good songs. Have to learn them. Still can't see. There have been a lot of times in the car and worship and praising God and the tears, they get so much water in your eyes. I remember one time turning on the windshield wiper to see if it would help, but it didn't seem to help. Nothing better than the presence of the Lord, amen? All those songs really pertain to exactly what Jesus said he would do for us. Amen. I want you to go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. That ought to spark a chord in everybody's heart, knowing exactly what it's talking about. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 11, verse number 7, said, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. I like that. Being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear. He wasn't terrified. He wasn't afraid of God. But he knew when God spoke that he meant what he said. Church needs to wake up to that point in fact that what God has said, he means it. It ought to provoke us to fear of not accomplishing and performing what God has called each and every one of us to do. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Everybody reacts to circumstances or crisis in many different ways. We can permit fear to literally bring us into captivity or bring us into, that's it. We can allow fear to capture us, to bring us into prison, so to speak. And to the point, our souls begin to react by either fleeing from our responsibilities or our responsibility opportunities. Or we react in faith to do what God has called us to do. Bible says every individual has been dealt a measure of faith according to his word. When we yield ourselves to faith, and we stand. No matter what, we will be able to persevere even under the pressures of those things that are coming against us. If we don't have the faith and trust in God, these things will overwhelm us, where we'll be fearful, we'll be concerned, we will bring more anxiety upon our hearts and upon our lives by simply not believing and trusting the Word of God. In chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for." Hoping. You look ahead. You don't see it. That's the same way when this world was created. God took something. No, God had nothing and made something. Same way here. We need to look at nothing and hang on to that promise until it becomes something. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then it goes on to talk about the elders. It begins to talk about the roll call of heroes of faith in this chapter. Those of us who are Christians, we should meet every situation with faith in both the goodness of God, in the goodness of God, and also in His abiding presence to help us in the time of need. He's always, like that song says, if I need help, He's always there. All I got to do is call upon Him. By faith, I call upon Him. By faith, I receive what He says I can have. By faith, I stand when it looks like everything else is going to fall apart. Guess what? If God's for you, the Bible says if He's for you, then who in the world can be against you? Who can stand against the power of an almighty God? The only thing that can stand against the power of Almighty God is our doubt in the greatness and the promises of God. It's a hard thing for individuals today to really yield and get a hold of in the world in which we're living in, because we've been raised up that in a world, in a society today, that we don't have to depend upon God, we can depend upon somebody else. We can depend upon everything other than God. But I've got news, people. We are about to enter into a crisis like we've never seen before. I don't care what you may be thinking. I don't care what you may be listening to some of the lies and things that's being told. We are coming into a crisis where the place that we're going to have to stand upon the Word of God, we're going to have to stand in faith to be delivered. God will deliver, and God will bring what we need in the time that we need it. Amen. We've become so lax in trusting God. We depend more, like I said, more upon everything else other than Him. But what happens when you run out of all this other stuff? You ever went to the cabinet? You've had more expenses come out than what you normally have. Something, you had a flat tire, you had to buy two new tires, had to put a battery in, or the water heater went out, or something like that, and all of a sudden you looked at your old your checking account, and you look in there, and it just comes up 0000. Then who do you depend on? Well, some people go to grandma and grandpa. Some people will go to somebody else. But what's going to happen when they're all in the same circumstance that you are? Who are you going to depend upon then? There's only one individual that you can really depend on and count Him to be true, and that's Jesus Christ. But you have to have him in your heart and life. You have to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You have to go and be covered with the precious blood of Christ, cleansed from all your sins, and then begin to stand upon the promises and also stand in faith that you are going. You may not see anything there, but all of a sudden it comes. I've been there. We've been there, haven't we? Looked at the cabinet. The cabinet was bare. Looked in the billfold. The billfold had moths in it. Well, the moths had already left because there wasn't nothing in there to eat on. But then all of a sudden you'd hear a knock on the door. All of a sudden you'd open up an envelope that's come in the mail with no name. Sometimes you don't even have a return address on it. And inside that, you'll find some money there. Or sometimes you'll hear that knock on the door, and you get up and you go to the door, and you open up the door, and there's nobody there, but there's groceries sitting on the outside. Well, somebody must have done that. It was. Somebody did do it. It was God. No. I'm talking about some physical body. All right, maybe it was, but they had to have faith in God to be able to give of what they had to make sure you have what you need. Why? God cares for you. And if you'll walk in faith, and if you'll walk in love to Him, and understand that He's always there, He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you according to His word. He said, I'll go with you even to the end of the world. If He's going to go with me to the end of the world, you know what He's going to do? He's going to take care of me until I get to that place, till the end of that world. How do we handle these crises? Do we handle them with fear? Or do we handle them with faith? Paul was writing to this letter to the Hebrews because they were in the midst of a bunch of stuff that was going on. They were victims of persecution. Can anybody relate to that? Inconveniences. Huh? Cruelties. People have been so mean and bad. And all of these things usually pertains or, run side by side because of your religion or your religious connections to God. That was the reason we heard Brother Swagger said a while ago, said, well, it's Paul and Silas in jail. Silas looked over at Paul and said, what are we going to do? There was a crisis. But it doesn't seem like it really shook Paul and Silas a whole lot, even though beaten, even though in chains. What did they do? Bible says about the midnight hour. Anybody ever have a midnight hour? A midnight hour is when everything is going wrong. And it seems like there's no way out. It seems like everything around you is bleak and dark. That's the way the world looks today to the people that live out in this world. But to the child of God, it shouldn't look like darkness, but it should look like the light that's at the end of that tunnel, and you're going to make it through it. Somebody holler. I forgot. Y'all tired this morning, aren't you? Paul, in this letter, is trying to encourage them. Encourage them to trust in God. You and I have to put our faith and trust in God. And we have to be faithful. You know, this is one of the things that's lacking in the church today is faithfulness. Faithfulness. If we was as faithful to our job as we are to church sometime, we'd be looking for another job. Hello? Hello? God's not looking just for people that says, I am, but God is looking for people that will and are faithful to the work and what God has called us and called you to do. We've all been called to do something. All of us have been called to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you have to stand up behind a pulpit or you're on a missionary journey to someplace like that. No. To spread the gospel is to tell people that you live around, that you know about the saving grace and the power of Jesus Christ to deliver them out of all the crises, all the situations that they find themselves in. It doesn't make any difference what you're going through. It doesn't make any difference how bleak it is. It doesn't make any difference if your mind is, it just seems like it's in turmoil continually, and your insides are just churning because of the anxiety. I tell you what, there's one that can cure every bit of that. There's one that cares so much for you and cares so much for me that he will touch us, he will minister to us, and he will wipe away all of those things. I receive those things by faith. I can't receive those things by what I see, what I feel, or what I hear. I have to receive them by faith. I have to look to him. Don't look at the stuff that's going on. Look to the one that controls everything. Well, if God controls everything, and if the Lord controls everything, how come all this chaotic condition is going on? I'll tell you, it's right real simple. They're not faithful to God. They're not faithful to the Lord. If you're not faithful to pay your electric bill, guess what? Lights out, baby. It's the same way with God. We consider God, I'm getting ahead of myself. We consider God a God of mercy and a God of love. Right, as long as we're faithful to his promise, to what he tells us to do. Well, God won't throw me, cast me into hell. No, he won't. He'll tell you, depart from him. You've got to do the own moving yourself. People don't understand this. The church doesn't understand this. The church needs to get to that realization that faithfulness and commitment to God, not just to the church, but to him. Because if we're faithful and we're faithful and committed to him, everything else will automatically fall in place. We have the faith to believe and stand upon his promises, and God will give us his promises. He told Noah, he said, build a boat. He said, build a boat. What did Noah do? He sat down and discussed it. Did he get a board together and begin to decide who's going to do it and who was going to be the engineer? Did he get another board together and see what kind of carpet they was going to put here and how they was going to decorate the windows? He only had one. It was in the top. No. He got to work to do what God had called him to do. He was faithful to what God had called him to do. And you know what? God was faithful to him. Not only to him, not only to his saving, but to his family's saving. It was his faithfulness that not only saved him and his wife, but also his sons and their wives and family. So your faithfulness has a lot to do with the rest of your family. We need to get this into our head. We need to get this into our brain. Faithfulness to God. Trusting him. Believing in him. letting him take place. Paul here was trying to encourage them to trust God no matter what. And in doing so, he writes the rest of chapter 11 about all those other individuals by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Never, no place in there does it say by sight, or by feeling. It's by faith. Faith. What does it say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Noah didn't know anything, I don't believe, much about building an ark until God spoke to him and gave him the instructions. By faith, if we'll stand and listen for God and listen to God, he'll give us the instructions on how to cope with the crisis and overcome the situations. There's no situation that you can't overcome. The Bible says there's no temptation that's common unto man that God doesn't make a way of escaping it. Right? I know that's a lot of paraphrasing in there, but if you've got a problem, God got the answer. Just quit running everywhere else. You ever get bad advice from somebody? You go ask somebody, you're really wanting some good advice, and they give you some advice, and you go ahead and try it. Next thing you know, you're more trouble than what you was before. You understand what I'm talking about? See, that's the problem. You're walking in faith in man, you're walking by sight, instead of walking with the faith in God. God's got the answer, God's got the plan, God's got the purpose, and God's got the way and preparing the way for you to get out of it. It may not seem like the right way, but trust God, because he's God, he knows. Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. He knows all the stuff that's in between. And if we have faith and walk according to his plan and his purpose, he will make sure that you are victorious. Noah's boats floated, didn't it? I was reading back there and said that he pitched on the outside and the inside. And I had a friend tell me one time, he said, well, he pitched it. That was God on the outside, Jesus in the middle, and the Holy Ghost on the inside. When you got that three involved in your life, honey, you're gonna float. You'll not go under. You'll not sink, but you will succeed. Paul begins to talk about these individuals from the Old Testament. He calls them spiritual heroes. And these spiritual heroes wants to speak, or trying to speak, the Word of God left the Old Testament. If we wasn't supposed to do something with it, he'd have got rid of it. All we'd have had was the New. But it's left there. The Bible says it's left there for examples. These individuals is trying to speak a word of challenge and also encouragement and cheer to you and I who are experiencing great difficulties. When you get home, we could spend probably a couple hours here in this one chapter here. Just get in there and begin to read about these individuals by faith, what they encountered, what they were going through, what was happening to them. And you're going to find out they was experiencing difficulties almost exactly like what we are might be facing today, but they got out of it. How did they get out of it? Because they stood upon the promises of God. They had faith in Him. They were obedient to Him. They were faithful to Him. History, really, history can be the most profitable experience if one would just read about it. You want to know how to have faith? Read this chapter. Don't just read it, just be reading a story or a tale. But read it so that you might gain something from it. That's why teachers, and when they put books in front of you, they don't want you just to read it to be reading, but they want you to read it so that you can take something out of it. What do I take out of it? You will have a greater intelligence. You will have a greater understanding of the contents or of the story or of the process that the book is trying to get you in. Same way with this. If we'll read this, read the Old Testament. See what how God protected the heroes of faith. But you can also read in there and see the examples of them that didn't walk by faith and what happened to them. And get this, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He ain't going to change. So who's going to have to change? You and I. If we'll study the history, if we'll look back in the Word of God, we will get a good insight into this present age in which we're living in, and also to what the future will hold for you and I. Faith, not only you see yourself through faith here, or victories here, but you also see on down here what the future holds. If you have faith in God, you know what the future holds, don't you? If you're walking by faith, you know what the future holds for you. When you walk in faithfulness, you see what the future holds for you. Everlasting life. Joy. Peace. A place called heaven. If we would just read the Word of God, we'll find out that it will be profitable to you. If you don't read it, you won't get any profit out of it. You can have a whole bank full of money. You got 2 or 3 million gazillion dollars in there, whatever. But if you don't access it, if you don't get one of them little white things about so big and says pay to the order of, how much it is, you sign that thing on the bottom and tear it off. A lot of times you ever just write cash on it and take it to the bank. What are you doing? You're accessing. Yeah, use a debit card. Yeah. Go to Walmart. You go to Walmart, buy a candy bar, swipe your card and say, give me an extra $40 or whatever. But could you get that if you didn't access it? If you didn't swipe your card? If you didn't write the check? How can we access the things of God unless we get out there and access Get in the Word. Study it. Read it. You'll find that by doing that, you will understand and realize how you can grasp or access the blessings that God has given to those individuals in the past. And once you find that out, then you'll begin to be prosperous. Then you'll begin to be blessed. You'll not only be, what you talked about it today, in the field, in the city, whatever you put your hand to. What was some of the other? Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Read that. I know I heard you. But I was doing that while you were out here. I didn't know what you were doing out here. But you find out that how you can access the things of God. Look at Joshua. Joshua was one that accessed and walked and done by faith. By faith, Joshua told him to march around the city. Seven times. Seven times they blowed the horn. They were victorious. By faith, they carried the ark and went into the Jordan River, and it was in flood stage. By faith, when the priest got in the water and stood still, the Word of God says that the water was cut off. They were accessing the power and the things of God. You can too. It all comes by walking in faith. It all comes by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only way that you'll be able to access any of these things that we kind of halfway tried to describe to you this morning. But it all starts one place. It all starts. It all starts at Calvary. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he said, Lord, we know that you're a man from God because, man, we see all these miracles and things that you do. And Jesus told him, he said, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. See, Nicodemus didn't know how the Lord was accessing these kind of things happening in his life. And he told him, you got to be born again. You have to be born again. If you don't have Jesus in your heart and life, if he's not the most important thing in your life. I was thinking Saturday, I heard some people that were sitting in the meeting yesterday. I come pretty close to jumping up and saying something, but I didn't do it. I don't know, maybe that was weakness on my part or whatever it was. But they were talking about people getting involved. The only way you'll get involved in anything is if you're excited about it. If you're not excited about Jesus, this is improper grammar, you ain't going to get much. If you're not excited about him, then you won't get much. You remember when you was a kid? December the 24th. You was wound up so tight. Mom and Dad was telling you to go to bed. There was no way you was going to go to bed and go to sleep that night. If you did, you had one eye open. And if you did, you would lay there and you would wait until you think Mom and Dad were in bed asleep, and then you'd start creeping around and start looking. And if they didn't stir or you didn't hear them, you'd even go in there and you'd grab that thing and kind of shake it. Right? You're grinning. You know what I'm talking about. Why would you miss sleep? Why would you do all of those things? Because you were excited about what you were about to receive. You need to get excited about Jesus. Get excited about Him, what you're about to receive from Him. And you know what? His gifts never cease. His blessings are never stayed as long as we stay excited about Him. Like I said a couple Sundays ago, just a mention of His name ought to bring our hearts and us to our feet in rejoicing and magnifying and praising His name simply because of what He's done for us. We need to be excited about it. If that publishing house clearing whatever thing it was come up there and walked up to your door, got that 14-foot big old cardboard thing, knock on your door, and they throw roses in your face, and they stick a microphone in your face, say, "Now you won their $10 million. You get excited. I haven't seen one of those individuals say, "Oh, well." They got excited, didn't they, brother? They got excited. Jesus paid the price that you and I could have eternal life. Heaven was, I hate to use this because I really don't believe that. A lot of people use that. Heaven was bankrupt when Jesus came. God was still there. But I understand what they're saying. There was a loss that was in heaven because the Son wasn't there. But the loss for heaven was for our gain, that we would accept Him as our personal Savior. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Him as your personal Savior? Are you living for Him? Are you excited about Him? I hope you are. But if you're not, if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we have to believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then we have to confess with our mouth that Jesus is alive. Then the Word says, "Thou wilt be saved." But you have to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That's the only way. No way to get to heaven except through Jesus. He said, "I'm the door. Nobody can get to the Father except through me." Would you stand with me this morning? If you're here in this auditorium this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I'd invite you to come and experience the most wonderful thing that you will ever experience in your life. Maybe through all the circumstances, the crisis and things that you've been facing or been going through, I will pray for you. Anyone else? Jesus loves you. He loves you so very, very much. I know it took strength and it took a lot of courage to slip that hand up. And what I'm about to ask you is going to take strength and it's going to take courage. But you know what? God didn't have any people in His army that was weak. They were all strong. And you have the strength. If you would, you that raised your hand would like to come up here and we would pray for you this morning. Slip out of your seat. Come up and let us pray with you. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Just because some come up doesn't mean there's not others in here that needs to listen, needs to hear what God's saying. The Lord's speaking to your heart. You need Him. You need Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you begin to touch these individuals here that come forward this morning. Lord, they are acknowledging, Lord, that there is a need in their lives. And Lord, we know that only you can furnish what they stand in need of. We pray, God, that if you would, Lord, a greater infilling of your Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that you would touch them, you would minister to them, you would bless them. God, that you would strengthen them. Lord, let them know and understand, speak to their heart about the closeness that you want to have with them. The relationship, the intense relationship that you want to have with them. And God, as they release their souls, as God, as they relinquish their lives and their feelings to you, God, as they say, touch me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. That God, you will hear these prayers. You will touch them. You will minister to them through the power of your word and through the power of your spirit. God, touch them. Minister to them through the power of your Holy Spirit. Let there be a new wave of glory, a new touch of your Holy Ghost in their lives. In the name of Jesus. Minister to them, Father God, in your word, in spirit, and in truth. We receive it. We receive it in the name, in the precious name of Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, for every individual that's here in this auditorium this morning. Lord, I know and I trust you, dear, that you said there's others here that needs to come to you. Because, Lord, you said you care for this. And you desire to fellowship and have a relationship with them. I pray, God, that you'd minister and you would touch their hearts and their lives. I also pray, God, that you would touch every name that's in our prayer box. I pray, Father God, for those that need salvation, that, Lord, you would move mightily upon them and stir their hearts. I pray, God, for needs, whether physical or financial. I pray, God, that you would touch them, you would heal them in the physical, heal them in the spiritual, that they might be made whole. Help us all, God, to walk in the faith according to your word. Help us not to look at circumstances and situations, but Lord, help us to look to you. Because the word says that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. You started it, and God, if we'll allow you, you'll finish it in us, where we'll be strong. We'll be strong in the faith and in the anointing of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you'd minister to all. Help us, Lord, to draw closer to you. We'll give you the glory and praise in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Blessed be the name of Jesus. God bless each and every one of you that are here. See you tonight. Bless you, brother.